Our lesson this morning is taken from the book of 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. I want to begin our reading in verse 1 and read through verse 5 in the New King James Version. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 1. Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians and God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of our God and Father. Knowing, beloved brethren, your election by God, for our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and in much assurance, as you know what kind of men we were among you for your sakes. We just had an election in this country. Some of you may have voted for a candidate that won the position that he was seeking, or you may have voted for a candidate that lost the position he was seeking, but the one who won, regardless of who it was, great honor came to him. Because it's great honor to be elected to political office. It is a great honor indeed. In our democratic society in which we live, it is something that people esteem to and have great desire to serve in God's institution of government. And so it's great honor to be elected by the people. In our text, it says the Thessalonians had been elected by God, knowing, beloved brethren, your election by God. The Greek word elect in the New Testament is actually a compound word, even though it's a very short word. Ek, meaning out of, is a preposition that faces the word. And then to choose or to select, the Greek verb. To choose or to select out of. That's what it means to elect. To choose, to select out of a group of people. So the Thessalonians had been chosen. They'd been selected. They'd been elected by God for salvation. The New American Standard Version renders it this way. Knowing beloved brethren, or knowing brethren beloved by God, His choice of you. God made a choice in regard to the Thessalonians. The English Standard Version, that He has chosen you. He has chosen you. This is the same kind of choosing, the same kind of electing that God done in regard to individuals that He chose or selected, like Christ when He chose or selected apostles. For example, in Acts 9 and in verse 15, the Lord speaking to Ananias, whom He is sending to Saul of Tarsus, said, "Go, for he is a chosen or an elected vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel." So God does elect, He does choose, He does select. And in regard to our subject under consideration, He chooses, selects men for or unto in order to salvation. But the big question is, does God make that choice? Does He make that selection? Does He elect people to salvation conditionally or unconditionally? Conditionally or unconditionally? Most in the religious world, the denominational world of our day, says it's unconditional. That is, that man doesn't have to meet any kind of condition, any kind of requirement before God selects or chooses him for salvation. But if that be the case, if this election to salvation is unconditional, then why aren't all men saved? Why aren't all men saved? If God hasn't put any conditions or any requirements that men must meet in order to be elected to salvation, why aren't all men saved? Because 1 Timothy 2 and verse 4 tells us that God desires all men to be saved. That God desires all men to be saved. And God elects people or chooses people to be saved then why aren't all men saved? You see, it must be conditional. It must be conditional, because if it's unconditional and God desires all men to be saved, all men would be saved. 2 Peter 3 and verse 9. The Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Well, if the Lord is not willing that any should perish, surely if election, the salvation, is unconditional, then no one would perish. It would be God's fault if anyone did perish. Why didn't he elect them? Why didn't he choose them for salvation? So, election is conditional. It's conditional. 2 Thessalonians 2 and in verse 13. But we're bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning, note this, chose you or elected you for unto in order to salvation. God chose them, elected them, in order that they may obtain salvation. Note this. Through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth. The Spirit sanctifies, but one must believe the truth in order for him to be elected or chosen unto salvation. To which he called you by our gospel for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, our election unto salvation is certainly conditional. It's conditioned upon us believing the truth. I want to talk to you this morning about the election by God in regard to our salvation. First of all, we note that it is an expressed election. By an expressed election, I mean that it is clearly expressed in the Word of God that He does elect, choose men to be saved. In 1 Thessalonians 1 and in verse 4 again, knowing, beloved brethren, your election by God. God does choose and elect people, and He chooses or elects them to salvation. This is nothing new. God had often chose people at His will. For example, He chose Old Testament Israel. Deuteronomy 7 and verse 6, for you are a holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for Himself, a special treasure above all the people on the face of the earth. The Lord did not send His love on you, nor choose you because you were more in number than any other people, for you were the least of all peoples. But because the Lord loves you, and because He would keep the oath which He swore to your fathers, the Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of bondage, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. So the Israelites were God's chosen people. He had elected them. Now the choice of Israel was not an election to salvation, regardless of whether they were righteous or unrighteous, God still chose them. There was no condition that they had to meet in order to be God's chosen people. He simply elected or chose them out of all races of people during that particular period of time. But in regard to our subject, we're chosen or elected for salvation, for our own salvation. And as I said, it's clearly expressed throughout the Scriptures. Clearly expressed, not only here in 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse 4, but in 1 Peter 1 and verse 1 and following. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the pilgrims of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father in sanctification of the Spirit, for unto in order to obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. So we're elected, clearly taught and expressed throughout the Scriptures. Romans 8 and verse 33. Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who's God's elect? Well, jumping ahead, children of God are God's elect. Just as Israel was God's children in the Old Testament Scriptures, and He chose them or elected them, not to salvation, but Christians today are God's elect. He has chosen them. He has selected them. Out of all other people of the world, they are God's chosen. They are God's elect. And the church, the people of God, are often referred to in the Scriptures as His elect. Colossians 3 and verse 12. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, as the elect of God, as the chosen people of God, This should be our attitude and disposition. In 2 Timothy 2 and in verse 10, therefore I endure all things for the sake of the elect, for the sake of the church. It's another way to say that. The elect, the church, the people of God are God's chosen and elect people. In Titus 1 and in verse 1, Paul, a bondservant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect. So it is an expressed election. Clearly expressed throughout the scriptures that God elects people unto or in order to salvation. The saints at Ephesus were elect in our reading this morning in Ephesians 1 and verse 3 and following. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. We were elected or chosen in Christ Jesus, that is, in a union and relationship with Christ Jesus our Lord. So people who believe the Bible are God's elect, that is, those who believe and obey the scriptures are God's elect. 2 Thessalonians 2 and in verse 13 again. But we're bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation. Paul is writing to the church in Thessalonica. They had been elected or chosen by God for, unto, in order to salvation. So it is an expressed election indeed. Clearly expressed that man is elected unto salvation by God. Not only is it an expressed election, but it's an effectual election too. By effectual, I mean it is a powerful, very potent election, because God elects you. God elects you. God chooses you. But the big question is, how does God do that? How does God elect man to salvation? How's it done? He elects men to salvation in Christ Jesus. That's how. Again, Ephesians 1 and in verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Note this, in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. If anyone is going to be a part of God's elect, part of God's elected or chosen people, he must be in Christ. That's a requirement. It's a condition. Election unto salvation is conditional. If one is not in Christ, in a relationship, in fellowship, in union with Christ, he is not part of God's elect. Men are elected in Christ Jesus. We get into Christ by being baptized into Christ. Galatians 3, 26, for you all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. We come into union with Christ Jesus in baptism. Our election is conditional. Conditioned on us being in Christ, and the only way we get in Christ is being baptized into Christ. For one to say that election is unconditional is contrary to the teaching of the Scriptures. If God is going to elect us to salvation, we must be baptized for the remission of our sins and come into union or fellowship with Jesus Christ. He calls us into this union and fellowship with Jesus Christ, of course, through obedience to the gospel. 2 Thessalonians 2 again, chapter 2 and in verse 13. But we're bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth. Note this, to which he called you by our gospel. To which, note that to which. To which refers back to the salvation. Because God from the beginning chose you for salvation. That is to which it points back to which he called you by our gospel. Yes, you were chosen for salvation, and that salvation came by or through the means of being called by the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so men, of course, must respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ. 2 Thessalonians 1 and verse 8, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and those who do not obey the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord, from the glory of his power. So, if we're going to be elected, chosen by God for salvation. We're going to have to be in Christ. The only way to get into Christ is to be baptized into Christ. The only way to put on Christ in baptism is having heard the gospel and having become obedient to it. Because our salvation is based upon the fact that we believe and obey the gospel. Mark 16 and verse 15, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. The one who believes and is baptized will be elected for unto in order to salvation. So thus, those who believe and obey the gospel become God's elect. It's just that plain. It's just that simple. There's great power in the gospel. Romans 1 and verse 16, to bring about one's salvation. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. For everyone who believes, the gospel, has power to choose or select them for salvation, if they will believe it and obey it. 2 Thessalonians 2 and in verse 13 again. But we're bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation, to which he called you by our gospel. Note that, as I pointed out earlier, to which points back to the salvation in the text. He called you by the gospel for unto that salvation, to which he called you by our gospel. The gospel and one's salvation is clearly connected. The gospel and one's salvation is not only clearly connected, but the gospel and one's election unto salvation is clearly connected. You can't separate belief and obedience from the gospel from being elected by God for unto salvation. 1 Thessalonians 1 and in verse 4, knowing, beloved brethren, note this, your election by God. For our gospel did not come to you in word only. Note that little word for. Translated because in the English Standard Version, Christian Standard Bible, New International Version, Young's Literal Translation, knowing, beloved brethren, your election by God, because our gospel did not come to you in word only. The gospel and one's election by God and the salvation is clearly connected. Now, for the denomination world, they say that God from the beginning of the world chose and selected certain ones to be saved, and those who were not chosen and selected to be saved are simply lost. Regardless of whether one believes and obeys the gospel or not, if God from the beginning of the world chose or selected them to salvation, they're going to be saved. No, one must hear the gospel and one must believe the gospel if God's going to elect him for or unto salvation. Those who believe and obey the gospel are God's elect. No way around it. And they're God's elect because they have believed and responded in obedience to the gospel. But this election by God unto salvation has some effects, consequences, results come about because we've been elected by God for or unto salvation. There are blessings that come from this election. Just as in our democratic society, if one is elected, there's blessings that come to him, earthly blessings, honor, and esteem is poured out upon them because they've elevated themselves by the vote of their citizens to a prominent place in society. And so, in the spiritual realm, as God elects us to salvation, there's blessings that come with that. In 1 Peter 1, beginning in verse 1, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the pilgrims of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father and sanctification of the Spirit, for obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again, note this, to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and that does not fade away. When you're elected by God for or unto salvation, you're blessed with an inheritance then. An inheritance that you didn't have before. an inheritance that is incorruptible, undefiled, and does not fade away. Those who have not been elected to salvation in Christ Jesus do not have that inheritance. This is mentioned over and over again in Scripture, Acts 20 and verse 32. So now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all of those who are sanctified. Remember, we're sanctified by the Spirit and through belief in the truth, set apart and consecrated by the Spirit of God. When? Well, when we're elected by God, when we put Christ on in baptism, in our obedience to the truth, and we're blessed with an inheritance among all of those who are sanctified. Everybody that's been sanctified, set apart and consecrated to God, having been elected unto or in order to salvation, has that inheritance. Colossians 3 and in verse 23. And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Jesus Christ. So when we're elected unto salvation in Christ Jesus, we have a reward. A reward, and that reward is an eternal inheritance. But note, who doesn't have such an inheritance? Ephesians 5 in verse 5. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. You have no inheritance. But those who are elected for unto salvation, because they have believed the gospel, responded in obedience to the gospel, they have an eternal inheritance. And as Peter says in 1 Peter 1 and in verse 4, it is reserved in heaven for you. Reserved there. It's laid up there. It's been set aside for you, an inheritance. It's been appropriated by God and by you. You see, in this election, there's only two votes that's actually cast. Of course, you're going to vote for yourself. You want to be elected unto salvation. But who makes the deciding vote? God casts the deciding vote. And when God votes for you, who could certainly defeat you? You vote. You determine yourself to be worthy of everlasting life. And so you respond in obedience to the gospel. And the God elects you to salvation. And then you have an inheritance reserved and laid up there in heaven for you, awaiting, because it's been appropriated ahead of time. Appropriated by your vote for your election to salvation and by God's vote as well. But there's other blessings that come as well. There's other rewards that come because you've been elected to salvation. Reading on, 1 Peter 1 and in verse 5, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this, that is in this salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice. You've been elected for unto eternal salvation. That eternal inheritance is awaiting for you. It's reserved for you in heaven. In this you greatly rejoice. There's great joy in the fact that you have an eternal reward awaiting. What an honor it is to be elected by God unto salvation. Though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, might be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love. Though now you do not see Him, yet believing, note this, you rejoice with joy inexpressible. You rejoice with joy inexpressible. When? Now. Why? Because you've been elected by God for, unto, in order to salvation. The eternal reward is waiting there for you. What happiness and what joy should come to your soul because of that. But there are other blessings as well. Reading on, verse 9, 1 Peter 1. Receiving the end of your faith, note this, the salvation of your souls. Of this salvation the prophets have inquired and searched carefully, who prophesied of the grace that would come to you. Searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. Note that. The salvation of your soul. Of this salvation the prophets have inquired and searched carefully, who prophesied of the grace that would come to you. The grace that would come to them was the salvation of their souls. To them it was revealed that not to themselves but to us they were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Things which angels desire to look into. Therefore gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation or appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. The grace that is to be brought to you, the grace or favor of eternal salvation. What a joy and happiness you ought to have in your heart, because all of these rewards come to the one who's been elected by God for unto salvation. Even in the reading of our text this morning in Ephesians chapter 1, we see that God considers those whom he's chosen and elected by blessing them in Christ Jesus, Ephesians 1 and in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Note this. In Christ, just as he chose us in him. So being elected by God for unto salvation, we have every spiritual blessing. Where is it found? In Christ Jesus. Having been elected in him, in union and fellowship with him. Again, the only way we get in that union and fellowship is being baptized into that relationship. Being baptized into that relationship. Another blessing. Ephesians 1, reading on in verse 5. Having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he has made us, note this, accepted in the beloved. He has made us accepted in the beloved. Actually, the word accepted there is more literally, he has made us objects of his grace. Objects of his grace. He has made us objects of his grace. Note where? In the beloved, pointing back to in Christ. In him, then, we have redemption, liberation, and freedom, thus referred to as the forgiveness of sins. We have a liberation and freedom from our sins. Where? In him. Those are blessings that come to us being elected by God for, unto, in order to salvation. Christians are unique and special people, are they not? What other people of this world can be said to be elected or chosen by God? You know how much honor it was for the apostles to be selected and chosen by Christ to serve as an apostle. Just think of that. Think of the honor that Saul of Tarsus had being elected by the Lord to serve as his apostle. Think of the honor and esteem you ought to have being elected by God for or on, unto in order to salvation. But every person can't say that perhaps in this audience, because every person perhaps has not been elected or selected unto or in order to salvation. How do you become selected? Well, believe the gospel and obey the gospel. You become part of God's elect. Election by God is conditioned upon you meeting those requirements. And then as God's children, you will certainly be blessed indeed, having been elected by God unto salvation. 1 John 3 and in verse 1, John said, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us. What manner of love, what kind of love he's bestowed upon us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has his hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. The election of God is conditional, but when men comply with the conditions that God lays out, to hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized for the remission of their sins, it's still an election by God. It still comes by the grace or favor of God. Even though you meet the conditions, even though you meet God's requirements to be elected, you haven't earned or merited that election. It still comes by the favor or the grace of God. And those called and elected must then make their election sure. They must make it certain. 2 Peter 1 and in verse 5 and following. But also for this very reason, give all diligence, that is, put forth every effort. Do your very best. Add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent. Put forth even more effort. Do the very best you possibly can to make your call and election sure. That is, make it certain. Because just as God has elected you for salvation, he can take you out of that office too. Make your election sure. Continue to add these graces to your life as children of God. The lesson is yours. If you're here this morning and you're not part of the elect of God, you can become part of the elect this morning through faith, repentance, confession, and baptism for the remission of your sins. What an honor it will be then to be referred to as children of God. What great love God has bestowed upon those who obey His will. If you're a child of God and you have sin in your life, we encourage you to repent of that sin, confess that sin. Remember, make your election sure. Make it certain. Remain steadfast and faithful to the Word of God. If you're subject to the Lord's invitation, please come as we sing the song that has been selected.